Hello, and welcome to
Gin. Oh, my gosh. Would you do that again twice more? I loved it.
Bob, I was on my radio voice. You messed me up.
No, and Bob makes it really hard for me to edit. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there's
no interruptions. Bob interruptions in the intros. Bob, silence. Let me do this.
Zip.
Let me work on my voice, my zen. Hello.
Okay. I'm just going to leave all this in. I'm just going to leave it in and just enjoy the ride.
All right. This is three's the charm. Okay. I'm not going to look at Bob. Hello and welcome to Gen X, Y, and I, a conversation with three generations of positive people featuring real world Dar. That's me. Millennial Jen.
That's me.
And not so silent Bob.
That's me.
Woo! We'll make you laugh, we'll make you think, and we'll always end on a happy note. In today's episode, we're going to open up with talking about what's the best piece of advice you've ever received.
Ooh, that's heavy.
Bob?
Oh, you want me to start?
Or do you want me to start? Because, you know, you say it's unfair when we go after.
I'll start this one if you'll start the next one.
Okay, I'll start the next one.
Okay.
That's fine.
Well, I thought about that, and, you know, and it was hard to come up with something for me. Partly what was happening
is that because you're wise?
I was trying to think of what piece of advice does someone tell me, and I couldn't come up with anything that really was, like, you know, earth-shaking. But, you know, I've decided that the best piece of advice I ever received was more by example than by words. And my mom passed away at 99 and almost a half.
Wow.
And I watched her as she grew older. And here's the advice. As you grow older, you lose things. Mm. You lose your hearing a little bit. You lose some. She lost her sight almost completely. But she never focused on what she lost.
Wow.
She was always joyous for what she had, and that's what she cared about. And I don't know if I can do it in my life, but I hope that I can. That's an example that I'm trying to aim for.
That is deep.
That is heavy
powerful.
Saying 99 and a half is powerful. I mean, to live that long, what a rich life. And
this is a lady that, you know, never graduated from high school. She quit at eighth grade.
Hey, that's how far my grandma made it. Mm-hmm. Eighth grade. It's crazy to think about.
Yeah. Wow.
And she always thought that she always felt bad because she always thought that she looked down on herself because she was not educated.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But what you said a couple weeks ago is true. Just education doesn't equal knowledge or wisdom. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Gratitude. That is a really important life lesson, I think.
That's awesome. You want me to go?
Sure.
I have two.
What? Okay. No, just kidding. That we will allow it, Dar.
You'll allow two? Okay. The first one is from my friend. I can't say names, but she'll know it when she hears me say it. And I can't really attest to this, but I thought that you all could weigh in on this. And again, it has to do with children. But she said, and I'll never forget this, she told me this probably 20 years ago. She said, if you really want to know how you are, have children.
Oh, wow. For sure.
Jen's cracking up.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, she said, if you, you know, your personality, your attitude, your quirks, she said, if you really want to see how you are, have kids.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah.
As a homeschooling parent with four children right now, I'll tell you, both my husband and I feel it very strongly. And we feel it at different times of our parenting journey. But when we see our kids struggling with weaknesses that we know and recognize, it is really hard to know that you've passed that on. But also at the same time, like when I see my kids being awesome, it's like it feels amazing. Like we had Jeff's sister staying with us for a while, and she said, how do you get your kids to be so outgoing and so well-spoken? And it's like, well, you know, thanks. I guess we did that. So there's pros and cons, but it's true. It's like looking in a mirror.
Yeah.
When you look at your kids, but that's true.
Do you feel like compelled to try to mitigate some of the things that, you know, because you hear also people say, well, you know, people don't get along if someone is like them, like, you know, like a relationship or a friendship or something like that. Do you either of you feel like you try to mitigate some of the things that you see in your children that are like you?
Mm-hmm. For sure. Sure. Yeah. The things that, you know, I mean, basically what I didn't like about what my parents did to me, or I tried to not do that with my kids, you know, mm-hmm. as much as I could. I mean, almost every child can think back on their parents and think of something I wish they wouldn't have done.
Wow, yeah,
to
sure.
me or for me or whatever, you know. I mean, all of us have those feelings. I was shocked to hear my two grown-up, a son and a daughter, we were talking, and they were telling me things that they still remember that I did to them.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember.
Were they good things or not so good things?
Well, they didn't like what I did. Embarrassing things.
Oh, I mean, gotcha.
You know, teenage things especially. Sometimes we did it on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Bob.
Like when they were hanging out behind McDonald's, we would drive by and yell to my daughter, "Hey, hi, Amy.
Bobo."
And we were in an old junker car, too. It was called Shitbox. Oops.
Yeah, oh, that's the button. I can't. Where's the button? There it is. We call them hoopties, Bob. Just say hoopty.
Okay, hoopsie.
I don't know that word. I knew you it never heard Bob of hoopty? Slipped.
This is our Mix-a-Lot song talking about hoopties. It's a whole
anyway,
culture.
It was a cruddy car, Bob, and you would embarrass your kids with your cruddy car.
But it was my daughter's fault that it was a cruddy car, because it was her car, and we let her paint it, and she painted it with a paintbrush.
Bob, you know about telling stories about your children over the air. You're gonna be in trouble.
Which is funny. At some point, I'm going to tell you the best advice I've been given, and maybe, Bob, you can take it to heart in just a minute.
Okay. Well, let me get to my second one so we can get to Jen's. This is a great one. You're going to like this one. And I learned this in ministry school when I was training our pastor's wife. She's a pastor, too. So she gave me this advice. She gave the whole class. It wasn't me, but in my we were doing a marriage and family class, and she gave this advice, and I repeat it to myself all the time, and I think it'll be helpful for you all as well as our audience. If you're pleasing God, everyone else who matters will be pleased.
Mm. That is very profound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've used that and lived that as that. My priority is, okay, God, what do you want from me? How, you know, what do you want from my life? What do you want from this day? And focus on that. And then everyone else in my life that matters and align with my values or what's important to me will be pleased.
What's the quote that they had in the Bible about when Jesus was asked, out of all the laws, which ones were the most important?
Love.
It was love.
Yeah.
And you personify that.
Oh,
you do.
Thanks, Bob.
I know you tried doing that, too.
Yeah.
Now I know where all that lovey stuff comes
from. See, it's all rooted from my training and biblical practices. Yeah, that's important. So if you're pleasing God, everyone else who matters will be pleased.
That is lovely.
Yeah. So that's all I got, Jen.
Okay. Well, I was really just being sarcastic earlier about Bob. I mean, it kind of relates, but really it doesn't. Okay. So
I thought it was going to be like, think before you speak or something.
I mean, actually. So, all right. I was trying. So when I heard that question, I was like, darn it. I gave some of my best mom advice in our love episode a while back. And again, like, I was trying to think of some advice that wasn't from my mom, but it's all I can think of is mom advice, and it's mostly relationship advice. And I do credit my mom for me still being married, because she gave me really good advice before I got married.
Mm.
And this advice works, I think, in any relationship. But my mom said, once you're married, if you and your spouse have an argument or a disagreement, do not run home and tell me about it.
Yes,
she said that.
Good.
Yeah. Well, she explained that, you know, if I have an argument with my spouse and I come home and I tell her my sob story, all the bad things he said, all the bad things he did, the way he hurt me, then she's going to have to empathize with me. And what I'm doing is I'm painting a negative picture of my husband for my mom.
That's powerful.
And then I go home and I get the opportunity to realize where I made mistakes, things I said and I did that I probably didn't tell my mom about. And then my husband gets to apologize for the things he said and did. We get to work on solutions together and have a really nice resolution that my mom doesn't get to be a part of, right? And that works for anyone. Anytime we have an argument or a disagreement, when we go and tell someone else about that that isn't involved in it, we're painting a picture of the person. And we can really, you can ruin people's reputations, you can ruin their character. So my mom, you know, she taught me that. And so I've always been cognizant of that. So I don't air my dirty laundry, I guess, was how some people would put it with my spouse. I do have one friend that I have permission to tell anything and everything to, and that's my best friend. And she has the same permission from her spouse. So I'll tell you though, I do not like her husband and she does not like mine because we hear all the bad and not a lot of the good. So,
okay, interesting.
Yeah, it's good advice. Yeah. I think that hopefully, you know, everyone gets to see my husband for the good dude he is, and even a boss or a friend, you can use that advice for any argument. You keep it between yourselves, right?
Yeah, so. I like that, and I think the other piece of that is that, you know, you resolve whatever that issue is with your partner, but then mom can still be mad about it. You know what I mean? And you know, you're over it and things are good with you and Jeff. And then, you know, whoever else, those outside people, they're still, like you said, with your best friend, they're still steaming and like, I can't believe, you know. And so I think that.
How could you forgive him?
Well, exactly. What
you don't know is what I said that it triggered that. And, you know, I've done it with my bosses, too. If I get in an argument with my boss and then I run home and tell my husband, then he's thinking my boss is a bad is the bad person in this argument when really I could have started it or maybe my boss was having a bad day. You just don't know. So I do try to be really cautious. And I'm not perfect by any means. You know me. I love to vent and I love to tell stories. But I don't know. Just be mindful, I guess.
That wouldn't have worked for us, I think, my wife and I, because my mother-in-law.
Here he goes.
My mother-in-law.
Aaron Dirty.
She loved me.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I think she would have believed me rather than.
Oh my gosh, Bob, you are on the couch tonight.
Oh, Bob,
there he goes again.
Your mother-in-law, did your mother-in-law like you better than Carol?
Probably not better, but she liked me a lot.
Who wouldn't like you though, Bob? Who wouldn't like you? What mom wouldn't be like, honey, I like that boy, Bob. Actually, can I just say right now, I haven't met a Bob I didn't like. I'm just going to say. That's stereotyping, but.
But this is the best Bob you've met.
My grandpa was a Bob, so they can tie. How's
they
that?
They can tie.
Cool.
That's good.
I can tie with my grandpa.
Bob is, I mean, his humility is just. Taking over the whole room today.
You mean his head?
Just kidding. Oh, very good. It sounds like we've all gotten some really powerful advice.
Okay, I have one more because you cheated and kind of said two.
Okay,
this is recent. So during the pandemic, I was kind of struggling with disagreeing with people. And a good friend of mine who I used to work with, she called me up and, you know, I was telling her, oh, I'm just having a hard time. People that I really love, we're disagreeing about some certain things and it's causing some contention and I don't like it. And she said every decade or so, she goes through her friends and she puts them in a filter.
Wow.
If you don't align, if your values and your beliefs don't align, it's not a bad thing to, you know, part ways with people that might make you, you know, they might have changed and you might have changed. And so even though you'd love to keep friends forever and ever and ever, you keep the ones in your pocket that really build you up and support you. And I loved that advice. I'll tell you, I use it like almost every day now. Like if someone doesn't bring you joy and lift you up and make you a better person, if they're tearing you down or, you know, hurting your heart all the time, then filter those out, you know.
And I think you grow out of people too.
Yeah.
And people grow out of us, you know, it's two ways. And you hear people say reasons and seasons. So some people come in for reasons or certain seasons of your life. And certainly we're different people than we were 10 years ago or 20 years ago. So
this is sort of tangent to what we're talking about. It's not really advice, but I noticed one thing in my own experience with my marriage is that when we where we used to live, we both knew people, good friends. And when there were little things that were going on between us, you know, when you live with another person, there's little aggravations.
Right.
It's the little stuff. We were able to talk. I had some guy friends. She had some lady friends. And we would kind of get rid of that. And then we didn't have to deal with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Then when we moved up here, we knew no one. Mm-hmm. Had nobody to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to go ahead and learn another way of operating with each other. And the other problem is it was very difficult for us to talk to each other because we were living in an apartment building, one that I managed for the university. And so we couldn't talk there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had two little kids. I mean, we literally had to go in the car, put the kids in the car in the back seat, and we had to talk it out while we were driving.
Wow.
So, but that was probably one of the rough spots in our marriage in terms of now I find out the more you talk to each other and get those little things worked out, the better you are.
Yeah, that's a good point. So you shouldn't, we don't got to drop people like a, you know,
exactly.
Hot rock or whatever, but mm-hmm. like, you know, if you can work through it, if you can communicate through it, then you should.
Right.
But if you can't, then sometimes it's better to
part ways.
Let it go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point, Bob. So many good points.
This is good.
Well, thank you all for listening to the show today. If you want to get in touch with us, there's a couple ways that you can do it. You can give us a call or a text at 313-437-2959 or email us at genxyandi@gmail.com. You can also follow us on YouTube, Gen X, Y, and I, Facebook, Gen X, Y, and I, Twitter, and Instagram. Or listen to us live every Wednesday at 5 p.m. online at WMTU.FM or locally in Houghton at 91.9 FM. We also have podcast places to catch us. Apple too, but Audio Boom, you can find us there, Gen X, Y, and I. We thank you for listening, and we look forward to chatting with you next time.
Yep.